Welcome to the first episode of 3CNA1, the serial. No.
And good morning from him.
And good morning from her. Okay. Basically, what's going to happen is we're going to start on the basic concepts of CCNA. A lot of people already know all this stuff, and some of you may not. And we can negotiate with people who think they do know it off. Actually, who has read through Module 1? And I'm about to unmute everyone, but try not to all talk at once, and then I'll shut everyone down again, and we'll see how we go. So here we go.
Okay. Who's read
through
Module 1?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Yep, okay.
Yep, I've read some of it.
Yes.
Okay, you've read through Module 1 of course.
No.
Yeah, three madam, I've read through.
You've read through it, haven't you?
Take two.
That's right, we're still recording this. Okay. Basic intro to networking. Right, this is Module 1. This is all pretty intro stuff. So, a computer network is a whole lot of computers that are connected together. The reason they are connected together is to be able to... we don't need to do any other intro stuff for CCNA 1, do we? Everybody was here on Wednesday, weren't they? Weren't they? Yeah, all right. Except for, well, he'll cope. He's a really awesome chap. Okay. Computers are hooked together to share resources, to share information, to share data. I would be very surprised if anybody here hasn't heard of the Internet. The Internet is a huge network. It spans the globe. And later on in this module, we will talk about the timeline of the Internet and how it developed and what sort of time frame the Internet developed in. It seems hard to believe now, but back in 1995, Microsoft did not consider the Internet as a real threat. They were going to set up the Microsoft network, and we're all going to dial onto that and have a happy time. Well, it's about sort of 1994, actually. They sort of started getting the idea in 95 that the Internet was sort of around to stay.
You only have to look at the, over the last few years, too. I don't know if anyone there is of my vintage, slightly older than some. But, you know, going back a few years, we didn't even have any computers, and look how it's all grown. It's amazing, eh, Kerry?
It is indeed. The PC is one of the most pervasive technologies, and in fact it's got into people's homes faster than the television. And it'll be interesting to see what social implications we have for that, but that's not part of the course outline, so moving right along. Now we need to break the connection of the Internet down into a number of different layers, and we'll talk about layers further along in this module. Now, oh, thank you, Chris.
Excellent.
And can you make it? Can you unmute him?
Yeah, I found the web-based tools, as they described it, in a quite beneficial overall.
Okay, how did you find the web-based tools again? Sorry, Chris, can you come again with that?
When going through the module and getting to the first part, there was a web-based link that really broke down the Internet from the days of the binary up to the full XML base in the documentation.
Ah, yes. Now, I think that's probably a point I would like to make, actually, is that when Cisco puts external web links on the page, it's not just to make the page look pretty. We would really appreciate if you jump out and look at those external links, as Chris has. And if you can mute yourself again, Aaron, that'd be really good. I know he's done it. Okay, there you go. Those external links have a wealth of information. Now, as we said on Wednesday, this week we'll be a little bit lenient because this is the first module, but we would like everybody to have read through Module 1 by Friday next week. In theory, you should be right to sit the module test next Friday. However, if you're not, of course, we've got to go through some lectures and things with you.
Yes.
There is a pre-test for Cisco, like there was for IT Essentials, I believe. And we'll actually get you to go through the pre-test this morning. And that's really to see how much you do and don't know. And the marks do not count towards your assessment. So if you absolutely bomb out, crash, burn, fail on pre-test, that's okay. And then if you absolutely crash, burn, and bomb out on the final, we're not doing our job. So. Okie dokie. Moving right along. We're going to talk about the internet having various layers. People love layers because layers break things down into understandable manageable sections. I'm going to take the example of a sponge cake. In fact, I'm going to take the example of a Black Forest cherry cake because it was one of my favourites. Making myself hungry here. Now, with the Black Forest cherry cake, layer one is the cake layer, and layer two is the cream layer, and layer three is the secondary cake layer, and layer four is the cherries layer. And once you have all of those layers on the Schwarzwälder-Kirschtorte, or the Black Forest cherry cake, that's your layered model of a Black Forest cherry cake. I'm going to stop talking about that now because I want some.
Yeah, I want some cream.
Okay. Now, if we look at an internet connection, we're looking at the various layers of the internet connection. We have the physical connection to the internet. That consists of things like your wiring, your cables, your optical fibre, the things you can actually touch. You're then looking at the logical connection to the internet, which is things such as your protocols such as TCP/IP, or TCP and IP, and we'll go into that a bit further, and those sorts of things, and your ports and sockets and things that you'll learn about as we go through the module. And then we're looking at the applications that sit on top of that set of layer, which are things like Telnet, the World Wide Web, HTTP, which, if anybody doesn't know, stands for Hypertext Transfer Protocol, I believe. Okay, logical connection. I've got all sorts of notes about that I didn't need. The next bit they want us to go through are parts of the computer. Now, I don't think we've actually got a computer to hand around at the moment. Yeah, we can't actually hand it to the remote. We haven't figured out how to put bits of hardware across highspeedconferencing.com. We're working on it. Okay, so we'll talk about the bits of the computer. Most of you will have seen these, and Dean used to fix them, and Aaron's certainly seen them. And we will hand around the stuff around the local students. One of the things we've also been discussing, and we'll see if we're going to do this, is we're actually going to pre-record some of these lectures. If these recordings don't come out well, you should be able to download a pre-recorded lecture that we prepared for you earlier, and that might be useful to sort of kick-start you through as well. We're going to investigate possibly doing that as well, just in case this isn't intelligible for people. Okay, bits of the computer. Do you want to go through the bits of the computer, Geraldine, or shall I?
Oh, well, I think I can talk about the hardware. If you've got the tower-type hardware or the desktop hardware, the tower, of course, is the ones most of us tend to use these days. Stick them on the floor under the desk, out of the way. The older type was the desktop, where we used to fit the monitor on top, our keyboard, a mouse for those who are mouse users, and the monitor. Have I forgotten anything?
I think that covers most of the things. We're probably going to talk about... we're going to go further in IT Essentials into the inside of the computer. We're going to talk about the system board. We're going to talk about the processor, talk about the RAM and the hard drive. Probably cover a lot of that in IT Essentials. For those of you who are only doing CCNA 1, which I know Aaron's one, but I think you'll manage, you'll pick that up. And we will be showing the local students what the computers look like. Yes, we'll record and you can listen along to us in your book. You will know it is time to turn the page when Topaz barks. No, seriously, we won't have pages. We won't have pages to turn. Okay.
Sorry, someone has a warp sense of humour here. Actually, there's a couple of us with a warp sense of humour.
Okay.
We hope you like that.
And we're here all week, or at least 3 days of it anyway. Now, a network interface card. Somebody's just unmuted themselves. That's all right. A network interface card is a card that interfaces you onto an Ethernet network. Or it can put you onto a token ring network, or it can put you onto all sorts of networks, but most of them stick you on the Ethernet, and we'll talk more about the networking media later in the module. We can show all sorts of different network cards to the local students, and you'll listen along on that one as well, including PCMCIA, which is a laptop style of internet card. Okay, network interface cards, they can be of all different sorts. You've got ISA, you've got PCI. We'll talk about the different buses as we go further on into the module. And PCMCIA, which is your laptop sort of card, which is now called PC card. Some people think that PCA actually stands for People Can't Memorize Computer Industry Acronyms. That's not the case. It stands for something that's a PC card association, but it's quite an old standard. We now have PC card, we have card bus, and we have PC Express card, I think they call the new one. You select the type of network card you're going to use to connect to the internet based on what sort of network you've got. Obviously, if you've got an Ethernet network, a 10 base T network or a 100 base T network, you'd want a card that supports twisted pair. And otherwise, you'd want a different sort of network card. We're going to ignore the zoomed up photo of the NIC, apparently, according to my notes. Yes, the pictures are all available on the website, which we hope all of you have accessed by now. If you haven't, we need you to fire off a message to Ian, and he can figure out what's going on there. Remember, there's some nasty capitalization. It's www.ece.curtin.edu/Ian, IAIN, /KV, all in uppercase, /class-notes, I think, but there's a capital C in class. class_notes. Well, anyway, there was a link that was sent out to the mailing list. If you don't have that link, get in touch with Ian. Oh, you should keep the link. In fact, you should add it to your favourites, your bookmarks, your funky sites that you last visited. I mean, whatever. Just keep that link around because it's got your diagram descriptions. That's your ticket to understanding those 1,000-word pictures.
And Ian will be very appreciative if you do.
That's right. Okay, we're going to talk about different types of internet connections. We're going to do a survey here. This is going to be fun. Okay, I'm about 4 lines down. So put that down and unmute everyone. This will be fun. We're going to talk about different sorts of network connections. We've got dial-up. Everybody knows what dial-up is. If anybody doesn't know what dial-up is, *3, unmute yourself and say so.
We assume that everybody knows dial-up. or put your hand up, that's right, because Ian will pick that up.
Yeah, to put your hand up, you press 1-1, and then you can get unmuted by Mr. Conference Controller. What we could do is we could get Mrs. Conference Controller and teach her how to do it. No worries. Okay. We're supposed to do a survey of what you have as far as dial-up connections, internet connections. So let's unmute.
We'll hear from everybody. Yep.
Yeah, and we'll hear from everyone, sort of in a semi-random sort of fashion. Here we go. Okay. We'll do the local students. What sort of internet connection have you got, Graham?
DSL.
Speed?
512 kilobits per second.
512.128?
Yeah.
Okay, we will be talking about speed later on in the module, but DSL is often specified given... Sorry, I'll just do this. DSL is specified in two speeds, and the first speed is the download speed, and the second speed is the upload speed. And the upload speed is often lower than the download speed because they figure you're downloading more than you're uploading. ADSL stands for asymmetric digital subscriber line, and you will come across that in the note. That just refers to the fact that the down speed is not the same as the up speed. Okay. Now I'm about to unmute everyone, and we've got Graham. We'll see who else we've got who's got we've got connectivity as well. So here we go. And yeah, okay.
That's Gordon next.
Gordon, what connection to the internet have you got?
I've got cable.
You got cable? Wow. Who have you got cable through?
Oh, it's only Telstra, so it's expensive as buggery.
Ah. Fair enough. But cable is very fast.
I've only got the slower speed. I think it's 8 megabits per second or whatever.
Oh, I think that's fast enough.
it's whatever the slower speed is, so it's the cheapest.
Fair enough, that makes a bit of sense. What have you got, Mr. Blackburn? You've got ADSL, if I remember correctly, haven't you?
I've got ADSL number one.
256.64, if my memory serves, unless you've upgraded since I've been over last time.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay. What have you got, Geraldine? You've got 1.5.56, haven't you?
Yeah, I have, yes. Cable.
He's got a 75 board audio modem. Well done, Ian. Okay, so we can all get jealous. What have you got, Chris, over in the States over there?
I have a 10 megabyte connection that I split off into my Windows Server 2003 to my 1 terabyte router.
So there you go. This goes to prove that the US is better than us in connectivity.
It cost me dearly.
Oh, it does. It does.
You probably find it worth it, Chris, eh?
I'm sorry, say it again, Jill.
I said you probably find it well worth it.
Yes, I do, for running my business.
Yes, yep.
Okay, Dean, what have you got?
1.5, 256 ADSL.
Okay, excellent. Who else haven't we heard from?
Yeah, mine's an 8 meg 384 ADSL.
Ah, yes. Aaron's got the funky one. 8 meg down, 384K up.
Yeah, still ADSL 1, though.
It's ADSL 1. Okay. Anyone else we haven't heard from?
No, got them all, I think.
Well, I haven't heard from Ben, and I haven't heard from Nick.
Are they still with us?
Yeah, still here.
Okay. Okay. Go next.
ADSL 2.
Okay, you got ADSL 2, no problem. Okay. Now, that's internet connections. I think we're going to come down and do the labs after we've finished the lecture. Yes. And one of the labs in this course that we'll get back to a bit later, I'm just going to... Do you want to unmute yourself, Geraldine? Star 3. You should be back.
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay. Just going to clean those recordings up a lot. Okay. One of the things we've got to point out in the network lab, and we'll make sure that that's actually up on the Cisco website as you go through Module 1, is that you can do an ipconfig /all -- file.txt in your command prompt, and that'll make more sense once you're going through the lab. And that will actually dump the output of the ipconfig command into a text file, And we'll be sending an email to the mailing list a little bit later in the morning with that command line in it, and you'll have that. And you can view the text file in NoteTab or Notepad or your favourite text editor. We also have to do a ping connectivity lab with JAWS. That's all very exciting. I think we'll probably get people to read through most of Module 1 first. So it's going to start getting into binary and stuff here.
That's rather exciting, actually. I've got a thing about binary.
I think we all do. Just give me a moment. We just want to have a 30-second consultation here amongst ourselves. Okay, binary. Do we want to start that today? None of them have pegboards. What do you think, Geraldine? Well, we'll talk through it. I'm just a bit concerned that not everybody's going to get the binary stuff without the pegboard. You want to star three yourself, Geraldine? Star three? That's all right. She's getting there. You back, Geraldine? No, can't hear you. Star three. Sorry, unmute Chris. Can you star three yourself, Chris? Oh, there we go. Someone's just come back.
I just wanted to say that the binary discussion that was done in the CCNA 1 overview is much better than what was presented in the PC intermediate or introduction course. The overview, the description, and finally the examples of how to walk through decimal to binary, binary back to decimal. It's much better in this module than in the other.
Oh. Ah, technical fudger, isn't it wonderful? Was it making the beep noises? You haven't flicked the switch on your microphone, have you? No, I think Chris has stopped talking. He said what he needed to say.
I'm still here.
Okay, no worries. The problem is if I unmute everybody and Gordon starts typing, we get quite noisy bits.
Bye.
Oh, shit. Oh. Yeah, I'm sure we're still here. Hurrah. Geraldine's back.
I'm back. Thank you. Okay.
Okay.
So we're just going to talk you through the actual pegboards that we use here for our local students, and our local students haven't seen yet, but they'll be getting them this week as well to use for the binary. It does help a lot, doesn't it, Kerry?
It does. In fact, what we're going to do is we're actually going to talk about how the pegboards are made out, and we're going to strongly suggest that anybody who can get them made up, if they've got some handyman friends, can actually make them up for them, because it makes binary calculations infinitely easier. For some of you who have been doing binary for quite some time, it won't be a big deal, or hexadecimal for quite some time, it won't be such a big deal. But it will be infinitely easier if you do have the pegboard.
It does make things a lot easier, actually. Yeah, most people find that.
Okay, now the pegboard is a board that is about 20 centimetres by 40 centimetres. That's about 9 inches by 14 inches. You can make them smaller. It just depends on what you can feel and what sort of size you can feel. And basically running, you have the pegboard sitting in front of you like a landscape piece of paper. And running along the top of the pegboard, there are a row of 32 holes. And between each row of 8 holes, there is a dividing line, because you basically want 4 lots of 8 bits, which would be 4 lots of 8 holes. And then there are actually 3 lines of holes vertically down the board. So you've got first row of 32 holes, second row of 32 holes, third row of 32 holes. Now, the theory is that you put pegs in holes if you want a 1 digit, and you remove pegs from holes if you want a 0 digit. And for those who've never seen binary before, we'll be discussing 0 and 1 digits in a moment. And you then put the second binary number that you want to calculate down in the second row of the pegboard, and then you perform the calculation that we're going to perform. And once you've done that, you put the answer down in the bottom row of pegs. We think you could probably make the board out of MDF and drill holes in it and put something behind it so you can stand the pegs up in it. Or if you have another method of doing binary that doesn't involve a pegboard, you could do that yourself. The pegboard is quite a useful learning aid. Do we have any questions on the pegboard so far? I'm about to unmute everyone so that you won't have to bother trying to figure that one out. Any questions?
Dean Adams.
Yep.
Can someone email me the dimensions for the pegboard, please?
We certainly can. In fact, we can email you the dimensions of the pegboard. We can also email you pictures of the pegboard and recommended spacing for the holes.
Yeah, I'll get my dad to make it up.
Yeah, no problem. I don't think you'll have too much of a problem. It's a pretty simple woodworking project. It'll probably take about 15 minutes.
Right.
That's really going to help you keep track of those binary digits and where they are. And then we usually just use little pegs of dowel to drop into the holes.
Oh, okay, yeah, because that's part of it I've never understood.
Yeah, or you can use wall plugs instead of dowels as well.
Or golf tees. Anything that'll fit in the hole. Mm.
Yeah. I hadn't thought of golf tees. Actually, golf tees would be a good idea as well.
Just adapting things here. Use what's around.
Next week in MacGyver meets Cisco, we'll be cabling some networks together with a piece of string, a thumbtack, and a roll of stick tape.
I'm going to mute myself.
It might just work. Okay. We're going to have a quick discussion of binary and see how people go with binary and hexadecimal and things. Now, does anybody have any questions about the pegboard? Anybody else? Going once. Going twice.
And during our discussion of binary, you're very welcome to put your hand up to Ian and Sue's doing it. Oh, well, Sue. Okay, thank you, Sue. And Sue will let us know.
Okay. So, and remember to put your hand up, it's 1-1, as opposed to 1-1 with a racer. Oh, okay, cool. Well done, Alex. Yeah, you reverse telnet. Okay, people, I'm just going to shut everyone down again. Okay, can you please unmute Geraldine, Sue? Unmute Geraldine, please. Are you unmuted, Geraldine? No, you're not. Try now.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Good.
We're back. And we're happy. Now, the other thing I wanted to mention to everybody was we are going for morning tea at 11 o'clock because we need the caffeine. And we think you might too by the time we're finished here. It's now
10:10.
So I'm going to sit down and have a really good shot at explaining binary for the next N minutes, where N is a number between 1 and the number of minutes it takes me to explain it. And then we're going to go for morning tea, and then we're going to come back at 11:30, and then we're going to start continuing on with labs and other sorts of things. Now, the other thing that's worth mentioning is that if you think that you know all of this stuff, and you'd like to go and sit the Module 1 exam, and you can sit the exams twice, I think. Well, is it only twice for the exams? I think it's up to three, but we'll assume twice just for the worst-case scenario. If you really think you can sit the Module 1 exam and you want to sit the Module 1 exam, please fire Mr. Murray an email, and he will either get Sue to enable the exam or do it yourself, do it himself.
There are only 16 questions in Module 1 exam too, which is enlightening, rather refreshing.
No pictures.
No pictures, no. No.
So the blind people can wish through and do it themselves, and that definitely goes for the Vision Australia people. And in fact, if you really do think you know all of this binary stuff, you are welcome to fire Ian off an email, and if he's agreeable, you can drop off the conference and go and do the exam. We don't want to hold people up unnecessarily, but we would like you to hear what we have to say if you're not 100% sure about this stuff. Alrighty. Now, number bases. Computers are pretty simple beasties. They, just skim through these notes to make sure I cover everything. Okay. Computers are pretty simple devices. They work with switches that are either on or off. If you imagine a light switch, generally if the switch is down, the switch is on, and if the switch is up, the switch is off, unless your light switches are upside down, sideways, or a big long pull string, which we won't cover. We'll assume that on is one and off is zero. Okay. The normal numbering system, which we all use in everyday life, is a base 10 number system. That is to say that we have the numbers, Sesame Street was brought to you today by the numbers 1 to 10. So we have 1, 2, or 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Now, I wouldn't expect anybody would have any questions as far as that bit of the base 10 number system. Okay, but yep, I'm not... Unfortunately, nobody can hear you, Ian, because you're still muted and you'd have to unmute yourself. But I'm just about to repeat what Ian just said because you would have still got fuzzy bits. We'll explain what the base is and then we'll go on to explain how the base 10 number system works. The base is what the number system is based on. That's what literally the base means. Now, if we have the numbers 0 to 9, that's pretty easy. But the number 10 is one lot of 10 plus 0 lots of 1. That's 1, 0, 10. 11 is one lot of 10 plus one lot of 1. The number 47 is 4 lots of 10 plus 7 lots of 1. Has anybody got any questions regarding that? If you do have questions, raise your hand and Sue will unmute you. Okay, I think we're pretty happy with that. Now, in the base 10 number system, we have special numbers for things. We have special names for things. We have 10, 100, 1,000, 10,000, 100,000, million, billion, trillion, quadrillion, quintillion, septillion, and the numbers keep going up. However, these are just funky names for numbers that we all know in our numbering system. I probably remember when we all start off as being four and we all want a gazillion dollars. Well, I don't think there is actually a gazillion. But a billion would be a good start as far as I'm concerned.
I'd settle for less.
So would I. Now, this is where we start getting tricky. Is everybody familiar with raising a number to a power, such as 2 to the power of 4 or 10 to the power of 2?
Maybe people haven't done that for some time, but if anyone needs any help there, just raise your hand.
Yeah.
Dean? He's raised his hand.
Can you unmute Dean,
not...
sir? Yep. You're not familiar with raising things. You're not familiar with raising things to a power? Okay, no worries.
No.
We'll go through that. Just mute Dean again. We unmute him again if he needs to ask another question, of course. Okay. To raise something to a power means that you multiply it by itself a certain number of times. Anything to the power 1 is itself. 10 to the power of 1 is 10. 1 gazillion to the power of 1 is 1 gazillion. Three to the power of 1 is 3. 347 to the power 1 is 347. I think we're pretty happy with that one. Anything to the power of 2 means that you have multiplied it by itself. Yeah, I won't. I thought I won't turn their brains inside out quite yet. 10 to the power of 2 is 10 times 10. 10 times 10 is 100, which is also 10 to the power of 2.
And 2 to the power of 2 is 2 times 2.
Which was 4 last time I looked.
That's it. Go to the top of the class.
Thank you. Does anybody remember a song called Inchworm? I could sing it. Inchworm.
Oh, go on.
Inchworm, practicing our arithmetic. 2 and 2 are 4. 4 and 4 are 8. 8 and 8 are 16. 16 and 16 are 32. That'll be very important later in the lecture. I knew that song would come in handy. I'd just like to point out that I heard that song when I was 6. I'm now 31. One would think I'm a little more mature by now.
Well, no, I won't comment.
I'll be keeping a copy of the lecture just for that song.
We'll all expect to hear you sing it by the end of the lecture, okay?
Okay. And as a matter of fact, we'll be interested in the royalties from that, if you don't mind. Thank you, Aaron. Okay, so 10 to the power of 2 is 100. 10 by 10 is 100. 10 to the power of 3 is 1,000. 10 times 10 times 10 is 1,000. Okay. 2 to the power of 2 is 4. 2 times 2 is 4. 2 to the power of 3 is 8. 2 times 2,
2
times
2. 2 times 2. That's right. Yeah.
So 2 times 2 is 4. Times 2 is 8. Now, any questions on that so far? Anyone raise their hands? No?
So basically you're just multiplying it by itself.
Now, for reasons that I can't explain mathematically, but it's likely to turn your head inside out, anything raised to the power 0 is 1. Oh dear, I hear you all say. two to the power of 0 is 1. 27 to the power of 0 is 1. 300 gazillion to the power of 0 is 1. Trust me on this, it really is true. For anybody who's mathematically inclined, you can ask me later and I will prove it to you using index theory. Ooh. But anything to the power of 0 is 1. So for a lollipop, can anybody tell me what 2 to the power of 0 is?
Has anyone put their hand up?
Has anyone raised their hand?
Let's have a hand up there.
Mm. How about we'll unmute everyone. Steve? Yep. Unmute everyone? Okay.
1.
Anyone want to tell us what 2 to the power of... Oh, yes, it's 1. I heard a 1.
Yeah, it was me. Sorry, I was waiting for somebody else to say it. I'll expect you to talk back to Dave, I think.
I've just unmuted everyone, sir.
Nobody wants a lollipop, that's all. Oh, Dean, you were first.
If 2 to the, if 0, anything to the power of 0 equals 0, wouldn't it be 0?
No, that's not right. Anything to the power of 0 is 1.
Damn.
Yeah, it was me before, Karen. I'll be second, my lollipop faxed over.
Okay, yep, no problem. We'll send your cyanide lollipop along straight away.
Come on, good.
He's so generous, isn't he?
Okay, we're gonna shut everyone down again, and we need to unmute Geraldine. So here we go. We unmuting Geraldine soon. Have you got headphones on? Can you hear what's going on or not? Okay, you're just sort of distracted. That's okay. That's okay. Thank you. There we go. Geraldine's back. Okay. Anything to the power of 0 is 1. And I'll email the proof out on that one because it does involve you to understand index theory, which is, yeah, we all did it in high school, but I'm not sure how many of us remember. Yeah. Index theory, as in how you multiply and... Basically what happens, Ian, is if you've got 2 to the power of 3 minus 2 to the power of... divided by 2 to the power of 3. Right, 2 to the power of 3 is 8. Divided by 2 to the power of 3, which is 8. When you divide indices, you subtract the indexes. 3 minus 3 is 0. What's 8 divided by 8? How many 8s in 8? 1. Can we hear you, Rick, at all? No reply? No. Who have you logged in as on that insert T? Yes, it is. Curtain KV2. That's the one. Yeah, so Gordon's 1 and Ian's 2. Okay, so anything to the power of 0 is 1. So 2 to the power of 0 is 1. 8 to the power of 0 is 1. Okay, now you'll notice I've been saying things like 2 to the power of, 8 to the power of, 10 to the power of. That is our base of our number system. Now, in the base 10 number system, 10 to the power of 0 is 1. 10 to the power of 1 is 10. 10 to the power of 2 is 100. 10 to the power of minus 1 is 0.1, but let's not go there. No, we don't.
It's all right, folks. I'll just throw something at him, okay?
10 to the power of 6 is 1,000,000. And 10 to the power of 9 is 1,000,000,000, which is the number of dollars I would really like, but I'm not going to see anytime soon. Okay. Computers work with switches that are either on or off. It's a bit like the relationships I tend to have. They're on or off. There's no in-between. They're on or off. They've been on for quite some time because I got married, but that's not relevant to this discussion. If we have on and off, which are 1 and 0, we are considered to be working in the base of 2 because we have two states, 0 and 1. 2 to the power of 0 is 1. 2 to the power of 1 is 2. 2 to the power of 2 is 4. 2 to the power of 3 is 8.
Now, the power of 4 is 16.
That's right.
Etc.
Now, when we look at a number such as 123 in base 10, 123 is 3 lots of 10 to the power of 0 plus 2 lots of 10 to the power 1 plus 1 lot of 10 to the power 3.
And don't forget, anywhere along here, if you have a question, hands up, so we'll get you.
I've just said the wrong thing, by the way. It was actually 1 lot of 10 to the power of 2. Smacks for me. 1 lot of 10 to the power of 2 plus 2 lots of 10 to the power 1 plus 1 lot, 3 lots of 10 to the power of 0 is 123. Any questions before we go on? Raise your hand by pressing in double 1.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh, yes, we do.
Who's the question from? You can unmute, Ian.
I'll unmute myself.
There you go. He can do it himself. He's clever. What was your question?
Well, I'm back again.
Yeah.
I've never been able to understand that 10 to the power. I mean, I do understand it sort of, that 10 to the power of this plus 10 to the power. I just sort of work it out. I can do it, but I get totally confused with that.
Well, if you've got $12 in your wallet, okay?
Yeah.
If we talk dollars, that's easier. We all like dollars.
Okay, so we'll deal with dollars. But, yeah, well, I know it's 10 to the power of 1
plus
2 lots of 1.
Yes, 2 times 10 to the power of 0.
Oh, I see. Okay. Fair enough. Okay, yeah.
All right.
Sort of.
Yeah, well, we can definitely go through that a few more times. Somebody else will just drop back on. Somebody must have dropped off and dropped back on. Okay. Now, let's take the number 5. Not because number 5 is alive, but just because the number 5 is interesting. Because we're going to use it. In the base 10 number system, 5 is 5 times 10 to the power of 1. But if I want to express 5 in the base 2 number system, I need to use the numbers 1, 2, 4 and 8, because 5 is actually smaller than 8, and I need to add up a series of those numbers to get to 5. And last time I did mathematics, 4 and 1 make 5. 4 is 2 times 2 to the power of... let me get this right. There's 1 times 2 to the power of 2. That's a 4. Plus 1 times 2 to the power of 0, which is 1. So to write the number 5 in binary, I would write 1, 0, 1. The first one is 1 lot of 4. The next lot is 0 lots of 2. And the last lot is 1 lot of 1. Any questions? Anyone raise their hand? Okay. Dean, can we unmute Dean? You should be right there.
Is this going to be in any sort of note form so I can go through it again?
There are notes on the Cisco website. Yes, in Module 1, they do go through binary quite a lot. You haven't read Module 1 yet, have you?
I went through it basically, but because of all the problems I've had trying to sort that out to start with.
No, we understand that. So what were you saying?
Is this going to be in any sort of note form so I can break it down and study it now?
Yeah, it will be in note form, and it is on the Cisco site. You are able to get onto the Cisco site now, aren't you?
Yes.
Okay, so read through that Module 1 and get back to us if it doesn't make any sense, and we are going to go through this with anybody who has trouble. This knowledge is critical to CCNA.
Right.
You will need this all the time. Mm-hmm. And in fact, Mr. Howell will tell you that when you subnet, you need to use binary. Isn't that right, Aaron? He may have disappeared.
Yes, that's right.
I've got a very good document on that sort of thing at home as well.
Wonderful. That's good. Dean, it all sounds very confusing when you first hear this knowledge. so I do sympathise, but it will suddenly click, and it's very well laid out and very well explained on the Cisco website, I believe it is, but we're certainly happy to send you more information or to go through it with you, you know, step by step. We'll help you get that knowledge.
We will also get Mr. Blackburn, who's physically put his hand up, to email the document that he has through to one of us, maybe me or Geraldine, and make sure he's got my email address. And if the document proves useful, we will put the document up on the class site where we can download it, or we could post a copy of it to the mailing list.
Well, that'll be good.
Or both. We might do both. I think we will.
Yeah.
The sort of charitable people we are.
Chris.
Go for it, Chris. Unmute both Rick and Chris. Okay. Can we hear you, Rick? No, we can't.
No, we can't. No.
Oh.
People can unmute themselves. Though,
yes, we can hear him now.
No, that was Aaron. That was Aaron. Yeah, I know people can unmute themselves by going star 3. And I think we're actually going to send a list of those commands out to the mailing list because everybody keeps forgetting them. But the most important one is star 1, which will give you the list of commands because I never remember them either. I just cheat. Star 1. Okay.
So we had some questions?
Yeah, I'll unmute everyone and let's see if we've got any questions. Yep. Any questions?
No questions.
I can go through those notes. It's Dean Adams.
Yep.
Then I can sort of study it more and try and understand it.
I think that's wise. Listen, if you don't get it when you go through the notes, don't panic too much because we will sit down and go through it with you, especially if you can get that pegboard made up in the next week or so.
I'll get my dad to do that.
Yep, and we'll actually sit down with you one-on-one and go through it again because it is crucial. And we'll get you to understand that and see if you can do these conversions. We do touch on it in IT Essentials as well.
Right.
So we do it in both courses.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I guess that reinforces, you know, what I'd like to say is, look, we are here to help you. We want you to succeed at these courses. And we, you know, we're your best friends. We're hoping to, you know, help everybody on their way through. So do feel free to email us. We sincerely mean that. Isn't that right, Gary?
That's absolutely right. And for a limited time only, we can help you. And that limited time is the length of this course. So, okay. Now, I don't know, does anybody think they've had enough? Does anybody want to sort of go away and assimilate that binary? Because if we do, we can take a break now and we can come back after the break.
I'll keep going and then come back to the binary. You'll have to keep coming back to the binary.
We are going to keep coming back to the binary until you all get it. That's right. We are definitely going to come back to that. I'm just going to shut everyone down and we can unmute. Yeah, see if you can unmute yourself, Geraldine. Star 3.
Yeah.
Yep, okay, cool. The other thing we have to talk about is hexadecimal, and unfortunately, if you don't understand binary, you won't understand hexadecimal.
I think we should still go through that anyway, and you know, we can still come back and help people.
All right. use a number of different bases, and one of the bases they use is binary. And actually, one of the things I will talk about before I talk about hex is computers store information in bits and bytes. A bit is a single switch, either on or off, one or zero. And a byte is 8 bits. I heard somewhere that byte was something to do with by 8, but I don't know whether that's true. So we'll just pretend it is because it's a good way of remembering it. There are 8 bits in a byte. Sorry? Well, generally speaking, there are 8 bits in your common garden variety byte. If it bites you, you've been bitten 8 times, unless you're working on some weird computer that has 7-bit bytes or 6-bit bytes or something. But generally speaking, there are 8 bits in a byte. And yes, this is a very sad pun, but half a byte is a nibble. There are 4 bits in a nibble. So if something has a nibble on you, it's bitten you 4 times. 4 bits in a nibble. So 8 bits in a byte, 4 bits in a nibble.
It actually, you know, if anyone's worried about those hexadecimals, you find that actually it's an easier way to write these long numbers that you would otherwise have in binary.
Okay. The hexadecimal number system uses a base of 16. It uses the numbers 0 to 9, as the base 10 number system does. And it uses the base 10, for the numbers 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, it uses the letters A, B, C, D, E, F. So F is 15, D is 13, A is 10.
Someone asked a question, did they?
No, that's somebody dropping off the conference.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. 1 beep is somebody entering the conference. 2 beeps is somebody dropping off.
Okay.
This means that basically what we can do is if we take 4 binary bits and we remember that 2 to the power of 3 is 8 plus 2 to the power of 2, which is 4, plus 2 to the power of 2, which is 2, plus 2 to the power of 1, I said that, 2 to the power of 0 even, which is 1, all that adds up to 15. 8 plus 4 plus 2 plus 1 is 15. And that is represented by the letter F. 14 is represented by the letter E. And 13 is represented by the letter D. Well, we'll go back over that. But basically you break the number that you are converting up into nibbles, which are 4 bits apiece, and you convert those 4 bits into hexadecimal, and they become either a number or a letter, and we write them all down, and that is a very compact way of specifying binary on a piece of paper or on a computer document. Hexadecimal is often used when you're dealing with a MAC address, which we will discuss. And it's also used when representing large binary numbers. You may be thinking FFFF by the time we've gone through all this hexadecimal, which happens to add up to 65,535.
Don't you hate him?
But we assure you that by the end of these couple of weeks, we will have you all converting. We'll all have you converting from binary to hex to decimal, and it'll be as easy as falling off a log. Little math joke there. Okay.
Sorry, was that a math log?
It was a base can log, actually, and that's we're not going into natural logs. Okay. Any questions? None so far.
Please feel free to put your hand up.
Yeah, but I think they're going to have to work through a couple of examples and see if they understand it. And there are some examples in the curriculum notes. Yes, we're going to take a break, everyone. We're going to go on. Well, I'll have to unmute everyone. Okay, and we're going to go and have a coffee. And we will be back in 30 minutes or so, 15 to 30 minutes. And I'm just about to stop recording.
This conference is no longer being recorded.
I just figure if I'm going to explain it to you, I might as well record it and we can yank it down as an audio soundbite later because it might prove useful.
No,
good revision. Okay. Now, Dean was asking that does any of this binary and hex stuff have anything to do with IP addresses? Well, it certainly does. An IP address is four numbers separated by full stops, and we call that dotted decimal notation. An example of an IP address is 192.168.1.1, which is a very common IP address. And we'll talk about why 192.168 and some various other ranges are very common later on in the course. Essentially, what happens... I don't know what happened to Bianca. Essentially, what happens is that... the IP address is in reality a 32-bit binary number. That's why your pegboard has to have three rows of 32 holes, because we need to work with a maximum of three 32-bit numbers. And we'll be sending you links to those pictures and stuff of that, so don't worry too much about that yet. And basically, the binary stuff comes into place when we use a subnet mask, and the subnet mask is something that manages to separate the IP address off into different parts. Yep, that's okay. No, it doesn't pick up that much from you guys. It's a directional microphone. You're able to hear me okay there, are you, Dean?
Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah, now you just get a bit of noise from the background there, but it shouldn't be too bad. Basically, you take this subnet mask and you do what we call a binary AND, which I'm going to explain next week, and you put it over the top of the IP address, and it tells you some very important information about the IP address that I don't want to go into quite at the moment. The other place we use binary is we use it it's used to send all data, and, ones and zeros is how the data is sent across the wires, and we also use it to look at things in networks. We send bits and stuff across networks, and one of the things that every card has is a MAC address. And that MAC address is made up of hex numbers.
Yes.
It's actually a 48-bit binary quantity. And can you just... Are you on the conference? Are you, Joe, there?
Yes, I am.
Can you just star to yourself? Just because I'm getting an echo from you. I'll be finished this in a second. Yeah, that's better. Thanks. You're in, are you, dear? Okay, so yeah, basically this binary is how we work with these numbers, and it's how we partition off these IP addresses. Now, we don't actually partition off the IP addresses with the binary until Module 9. We're going to teach you all about tables and connectors and vaults and all sorts of things before Module 9, but the binary will come into play.
Dean Adams, Kerry?
Yeah.
So where does the primary and secondary DNS servers come in with the different IP addresses?
Well, binary doesn't have anything to do with DNS.
Right.
DNS is actually a way of machines looking up host names, but we don't talk about that yet.
Okay.
There is a lab. There is actually. Now, have you guys? Oh, hang on. I've just got to add Geraldine Lane into my Skype contact. Right there. That's that done. Basically, we talk about DNS when we actually run the DNS lab, which we haven't run yet. I've got to check, but I actually have the lab manual in a Word document, and we might make that available. We'll see. You can actually download the lab manual off the Cisco website. Okay, Ian is sticking the PDFs of the lab manuals up onto that, www.curtain.rah.rah.rah site, the Cavi class notes. Yep, he's putting the PDFs up, and I'm going to give him the Word documents in a minute when I get back to my laptop, and he's going to put those up as well.
Right.
Basically, what I've done is I've taken the lab manuals and I've run them through Kurzweil 1000. And I've converted them into Word documents.
Right, okay, yeah. And I still need to do the pretest too, by the way.
Okay, I'll just check with that. Have you activated the pretest for Dean? Did you end up finding the type assessment link, Dean?
Yes. Yeah, that was
the pretest. It shouldn't be anymore. I'd go back and check.
Right, and, yeah, that was about half an hour ago.
Did you activate it in the last half an hour, Ian? Yep, it that will have changed. He's activated the exam. It should show up there for you.
Oh, great. I can do that later then.
Well, the exams are only available for a 24-hour period,
right,
maximum. And in fact, they time out fairly quickly. So what I would be suggesting you do is drop off this conference and go and do that pretest, because it doesn't matter what you have or haven't read.
Right.
And you can do that pretest and jump back on before we go home this afternoon. I think you've got an hour or two to do the pretest. 2 hours. You've got 2 hours to do the pretest. You shouldn't need the whole 2 hours, honestly.
Okay, right.
The pretest does have diagrams in it, and those diagram descriptions for the pretest are up on that website, the Tildorian website, that you can download those documents and have the diagram description open whilst you're doing the pretest.
All right. Oh, that's good, yeah.
Okay, so look, give us a buzz if you have trouble getting that stuff together. See if you can get the diagram descriptions for the pretest, and then see if you can get in and do the get into the take assessment page and see if it shows up there. Just make sure you've got everything to go before you hit the begin assessment button, because once you hit the begin assessment button, your timer starts.
Fire on, isn't
it? Yeah, a bit like the mad minute on Sale of the Century.
Yeah, have you got 2 hours?
I'll go and give it a whirl then.
Yeah, sorry, Ian? It's a mad hour, basically. Well, mad 2 hours. But, yeah, see how you go with that. And as I said, jump back on the conference and let us know if you have a problem. Feel free to hang this conference up while you're going and doing your test. We wouldn't expect you to sit on the conference while you're having a test because it would distract you. So feel free to drop off, go do the test, or go and start to try to do the test. And if you run into a problem, call back in.
Okay.
Okay?
We'll talk to you soon.
Good luck.
Yes, good luck. Good luck.